Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about spiritual warfare. It's hand-to-hand combat for the Christian. I don't know if you have noticed, not if you've been saved very long, you realize that we are in a spiritual battle. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I illustrate that with, I have said for many, many, many years, as we enrolled students in the Bible College and the university, I encourage them during the course of the enrollment process to recognize just as soon as you get serious about study of the Word, just as soon as you get involved in a regiment of studying the Word in classroom setting and studying the Word, you need to be very, very careful and understand that Satan is going to try to prevent you. He's going to try to deter you. He's going to try to, in some way, distract you. He's going to try to keep you from doing that studying. For example, I've seen so many times down through the years when young men would enroll in Bible college and seminary, getting their studies done. Had on one occasion one young man that had been in the classroom less than 6 weeks. His wife told him, "I didn't marry a preacher. I don't want to be married to a preacher. I'm gone." He had twin daughters. She took the twin daughters and left, and he was just absolutely floored with that kind of response. That was in direct response of spiritual warfare as a result of getting enrolled in Bible college and seminary to study the Word. Unfortunately, he made the decision to appease her, and he said, I'll get out of the classroom. He got out of the classroom, stopped studying the Word. He was a bivocational pastor. He went to work with a large food chain, working in the produce department, and left the vocation of ministry because of spiritual warfare. Satan is out to tear down and destroy and prevent you or me or any other Christian from being what God would have us to be and what he's called us to do in serving him as Lord and Master in our lives. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is one of the theology and Bible professors in Conservative Theological University. It's always my joy to have Dr. Phelps with us and talk about these very pertinent spiritual issues. Dr. Phelps, how can we explain the reality of Satan? We've touched on it a moment ago, but how can we explain that because of the way it's demeaned and rejected and ridiculed in society in general? In fact, Dr. Phelps, most people think about Satan as being that little thin man in a red suit with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. And that's not who Satan is at all, is it?
Although the reality of Satan is ridiculed in the liberal universities and from the liberal pulpits, the presence of this evil one is confirmed in the written words of the Scripture and affirmed by the spoken words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21 in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us of an incident in the life of King David. King David was man of God. He was God's man, and God had placed him in place of leadership as king of Israel. And those such as David or leaders today are many times attacked by Satan. The Bible says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab," that's his commander in chief, "and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan and bring the number of it to me, that I may know it." Now, his man in command of the armies objected. He didn't believe that he should do that, and rightly so. But David prevailed, and as a result of that, then God had to chasten. God had to punish them for disobedience. God didn't want them to count the number of the soldiers because, you see, God was their leader, and God was their helper. They were to trust in God, not in flesh, not man.
Right.
And so what happened was then God had to deal with that. And this is one of the times that David sinned. There are other times that David sinned. And just as it is with us. And many of those times, it's because Satan stands up against us.
Yes.
He wants to accuse us in the presence of God.
In fact, you touched on that, Dr. Phelps. He's referred to as the accuser of the
yes.
brethren.
Yes.
What does it mean, accuser of the brethren, when the Scripture says that?
That's in fact in Revelation 12:10. He's the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? Satan wants to bring trouble between you and the Lord.
That's right.
He wants to cause you to fall. And he causes that by being our accuser. He stands in the presence of God, and he wants to accuse us to bring trouble in our lives. That's one of the ways that the Bible tells us concerning his work. His work is to cause dissension, cause trouble, division. And he is our accuser. I'm so thankful that we have an advocate with the Father.
Absolutely.
Who stands up for us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Dr. Phelps, with that being said, it comes to a very pertinent question, I believe, that our listeners perhaps would be interested in. We've talked about what happened with Job. We've talked about other peripheral of that. We've talked about the fall of Lucifer, became Satan in the world today. What's Satan's purpose today? What's he wanting to do? What's his goal? What is the motive of his operation today?
One of the first things I'd like to suggest that we need to really notice in our time is Satan promotes false doctrine.
Yes.
In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And it's what we call the doctrines of demons.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things he does. He promotes false doctrine. And that's one of the reasons why we're in what we call the time of apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
False doctrine has filled our pulpits, the airways, our universities, our colleges, our churches, so that people are turned away from the faith. So that's one of the things that he does today. Satan perverts the Word of God. Let me clarify that. Through the New Age versions that pervert the truth by unnecessary word changes, we believe that we have many Bibles today that do not promote sound doctrine.
That's right.
And then through various cults that are founded upon other books rather than the Bible, and upon another gospel, not the gospel of Christ. And we're told about that by Paul in the book of Galatians. We have many cults whose philosophy is based upon New Ageism, philosophies that are contrary to the Scriptures, and the kind of philosophy that goes all the way back to the beginning of the time of the church and even before. And many of these philosophies are founded upon myths, mythology, superstition, and the ideas of men. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, after the tradition of men, and not after Christ. Another thing that Satan does in his purpose is through a variety of false prophets. They cause people to err from the faith. And the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, has much to say about that. Another thing in the purpose of Satan is that he plants tares among the wheats. Now, what that means is he plants his emissaries or his ambassadors among the people of faith.
In fact, that's what Corinthians talks about. Paul speaking Corinthians, he masquerades as angels of light, is what he's literally speaking of there. Where come across, in fact, you've heard me say many times of late, it's the false doctrine, it's false theology. I call it voodoo theology, because it's not found any place in the Word of God. And so often that's used today. And Satan uses that, ladies and gentlemen, to get you off track, to get you detracted from and deferred from the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you have questions? Are you concerned about? Are you interested in? Have you found some of these things to be factual in your life?
Have you faced the warfare, the battle that's going on, it's raging day by day and moment by moment, especially in the Christian's life? Dr. Phelps, let me ask you a question in relationship to that. We talk about Satan, and some people would think of him as being all-powerful. Is Satan all-powerful? Number one, is he powerful? And then secondly, would you consider him to be all-powerful? Is he all-powerful, or is he just powerful? Where does he get his power, and how is that power carried out? I think people need to understand that.
Satan is not as powerful as God. He only has the power that God allows him to use.
Yes.
Only God can say that he is all-powerful. He has all power in every area. And we find that, as you mentioned in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 9, God only allows him to do what's in the will of God.
I use the term, Dr. Phelps, Satan is as a dog on a leash, that Satan can only do and go as far as God will allow him to do. And Satan is used oftentimes as a tool in God's hands to get the believer's attention to focus back on the Lord. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for all your wisdom and for your wonderful guests that you bring on. They're such men of God, and it's hard to hear that today. I am a very persecuted person. If I were to tell it to you, you would believe it. But everyone else kind of rolls their eyeballs and laughs and tells me I should be on psychotropes. However, it's one ordeal after the next. And the only thing I find that I can do, and I opened up to Job the other day, was to read scripture over and over again and know that I'm not alone. And there's a wonderful little song, and at the end of it, it says about Jesus, he is with me to the end. And I have to keep saying that and believing it. However, just one more thing. I know I'm very, I talk a lot, but the one more thing is that, you know how God says, I will hate who I will hate, and I will love who I will love, meaning Jacob and Esau. And sometimes I think maybe he is punishing me for all my previous sins. And, you know, that is the way that I come through the fire. Hopefully that's what it is. Thank you.
Well, let me say one thing and then let Dr. Phelps respond also. If you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, God is not using your past sins and waving them in your face and beating you to death with them today. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we ask him to forgive us of our sins, come into our hearts and save us. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgotten. And as I use the term, our sins are flung as far as the north, the east pole and the west pole. There, that's infinity. And so, therefore, it's not a matter of that. So, Dr. Phelps, how would you respond to the statement or the question that our caller made?
One of the things I would like to suggest to you is something that I find is very helpful in my life. You mentioned thinking about the scriptures. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful weapon that we can use.
Yes.
And so let me suggest you continue to do that, memorize scripture, and think about it so that your mind is focused upon God and his word. We should not, I repeat, we should not focus upon the enemy, Satan. Focus upon the Lord. Look to him, just like Peter did when he was walking on the water.
Yes.
When he looked down, then he began to sink. He began to fall. But when he called upon the Lord, then he could continue walking on the water. So here's what I'd like to suggest. Two things. Continue to think upon Scripture, but also confess your sins and know that you're forgiven.
Yes.
Confess all of your sins and do that on a regular basis, every day. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the third thing, let me suggest one other thing that I find is so helpful, and that is to praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. There are many passages in the Psalms that tell us to praise the Lord. I find that when we praise the Lord, then we're acting on victory ground. We're going to have the victory.
Absolutely. I pray that that is an encouragement and a hope for you and a help for you today. But thank you so much for your call and for your input. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we'll continue to pray that God will give you wisdom in and through His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today spiritual warfare. And Dr. Phelps, for the benefit of our listeners, we're not talking about Satan and his demons so that we dwell on those things, but so that we recognize the enemy and what the Bible says in relationship to that enemy that is called Satan. In fact, you touched on it a moment ago with our caller, and I believe it's in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that's not talking, that's spoken to Christians, spoken of to Christians. And so therefore, even as Christians, we can come back each day and say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I call that 1 John 1:9 the believer's bathtub, because every day we need to get cleansed, and we do so by coming to him and confessing our sins. Dr. Phelps, in the last few minutes that we've got on this broadcast today, I believe it would be wise that if we kind of switch gears and go to the point, what do we do if we're in warfare, and we are, if it's hand-to-hand combat, and it is, how do we as Christians prepare for that battle? What do we do for that battle? What is the armament that we should have on? How should we array ourselves to do that battle? I believe there are some succinct things that are said in Scripture that ought to be our battle armament, our battle array, our battle dress, so that we're prepared for the enemy. It's an impossibility, too, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this. There's some people that will have the philosophy, Dr. Phelps, that when Satan is bothering me, I just command him to be gone. Can a Christian do that? No, sir. We are not told in the Scriptures to say such things as that.
Right.
Because there's a place in the Scripture, in the book of Jude, where Michael the archangel would not speak in those terms at all, except to say, the Lord rebuke thee. Mm-hmm. Only God can handle Satan and his demons.
So how do we do that? How do we put that in the vernacular today as to what as Christians should say? I've watched on the Heresy Broadcast Networks, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a number of those by way of radio and television. I call them the Heresy Broadcast Networks. And on one of the Heresy Broadcast Networks some time ago, I watched a preacher in the pulpit said, whenever Satan is bothering me, I just throw him to the ground and put my foot on his neck and say, get behind me, Satan. That is absolute heresy, absolute heresy. As Dr. Phelps just mentioned a moment ago, even Michael the archangel would not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And that's how it ought to be for the Christians today. We can't demand anything of Satan. Go back and study the book of Job, and Job never in any place said, Satan, get behind me. The Lord is the only one that can rebuke Satan in our lives. But Dr. Phelps, let's go to the fundamental point. If we have military men, if it's the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, whatever branch of military service, they have armament that they must put on to do battle. They have battle weaponry that they must have at hand. They must be battle prepared, battle ready, and suited up, as I call it, to carry out the hand-to-hand combat that they're in against the enemy to be able to win the battle. And I believe the Scripture is replete with evidence that that's the way it ought to be for the child of God, for the Christian. So speak to that for our listeners today. What is the listener to do? How is a Christian to be armored? What kind of armament should the Christian have on? And what does the Scripture say about that?
We must listen very carefully. We must not war in the flesh. That is human flesh. That is from the human side. The Bible tells us our weapons for warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
But mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, there was a man, when Paul was ministering, who tried to mimic what Paul was doing.
Yeah, that's right.
And try to cast out some evil spirits, and he got in trouble. And he was trying to cast out
the evil spirit, or many evil spirits, whatever you might want to say, from someone. And the Bible tells us, instead of leaving the man, being cast out of the man, the evil spirit jumped on him.
Yes.
And attacked him.
Chased him out of the house naked.
Yeah. And so the idea is, if you know the Lord, know that God has a way for us to carry out spiritual warfare. And the answer is found in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God wants us to put on the spiritual armor, and we do that by faith. Just as David faced the giant, not with armor that men had made with their hands, but in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, David went out and he defeated Goliath. So you and I have an enemy, and we're to face him with the armor of God. And you find that in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10, all the way through verse 18. It says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Our fight is not against on the human level, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that verse means that then we have a spiritual warfare, not a humanity warfare, not man to man, but we have a spiritual warfare. And so he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Notice that I read the word "stand" more than once in this passage. And that means that we're to resist the devil mm-hmm. with the armor of God. As we put on the armor of God, and these things are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, "Stand therefore," notice the word "stand," "having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We're told about the armor of God that we can put on and stand, and that's the only way that we can deal with the enemy in spiritual warfare. God wants us to rely upon Him. God gives us victory. Now, I want to say something that may be a little difficult to understand, but when Jesus was talking with His disciples just before He was arrested and taken and tried and crucified, He said, "I have overcome the world." There are three areas in which Satan then fights against us: the world, the flesh, and the devil.
That's right.
And we believe that you and I are not to fight for the victory, but we're just to fight in this manner in victory.
Yes.
Jesus is our victory, and He wants us to overcome, not to be overcome by evil. And so we're to find our strength in the Lord and allow Him then to be our strength, our power, and our overcomer.
Dr. Phelps, one of the things, and I'm thankful for what you just said, because we're fighting in victory, because having Jesus, we already have won the battle. The ultimate war has been won. We have the skirmishes on a day-by-day basis. But in that Ephesians text that you just shared with us, in that 14th verse, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The very first part, the very first element of the spiritual armament is truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." He told His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the first element Dr. Phelps, as I see it, in the spiritual armament for the Christian to stand against the wiles of the devil is to have truth.
Yes.
And that's the Word of God. Knowing the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, allowing the Word of God to permeate our hearts and our lives. And I like the part also, Dr. Phelps, where it says, "Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day in that evil day, and having done all, stand." That means once we've got the armor on, starting off with truth, and then all of the other parts that's identified there, that this broadcast is not long enough to cover all of the elements of that, but having put on the full armament, then we're to stand. And that is because we dig in the heels, as I put it. We don't run. We don't turn around. We don't sit down. We stand facing the enemy, knowing that we already have the victory in Jesus Christ. I find it encouraging, for it should be encouraging for every believer. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. Take these last 2 minutes and further overview, if you will, for our listeners, the preparation through the armament that we should have on, the whole armor. We can't go out and do battle without the armament on.
We must be fully armored. We cannot win in any spiritual battle if we're unarmed. We must be armed mentally, spiritually, emotionally. But most of all, we must have this in mind, that God gives us the victory through Christ.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so our spiritual warfare then is from victory to victory, like the song says that we sing in church, stand up for Jesus.
Yes.
We operate from victory to victory so that you and I then can be the victor. We will not lose out, and we will find that we can face the enemy. Now, the Bible tells us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I believe that good instruction for us right there.
The first thing is submit unto God.
Yeah.
Submitting our lives, our all. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this has been a modicum of a blessing for you today. I pray that as you go out and continue to do warfare, in the spiritual warfare, you'd recognize that we've already won the battle. The victory is ours in Jesus Christ. There'll be that modicum of battles each day and that little skirmish each day, but we've won the battle already through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.